Up next, we're going to hand it over to Old Mole Fran Michel, who is going to offer us some excerpts of readings and some speeches that highlight the powerful tradition of African-American oratory in this country. Fran?
The 4th of July in the United States is not just a holiday when white people celebrate killing each other over land that wasn't theirs. It's about a document. It's about the contradictions and possibilities in the language of freedom and equality. The 4th of July is Independence Day, commemorating the signing of the Declaration of Independence by the Continental Congress, declaring the United States a nation separate from Great Britain. The second sentence of the Declaration states, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." These ideals look back to the French Revolution's Declaration of the Rights of Man and forward to later attempts to extend and fulfill their spirit. The 1848 Seneca Falls Declaration of Sentiments corrected the gender of the assertion by declaring, "We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men and women are created equal." 100 years later, the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights states that all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. But as Hannah Arendt observed, not everyone is recognized as having the right to have rights. The irony of the U.S. Declaration of Independence was hard to miss. The praise of liberty and the declaration of all men's equality came from a group including slaveholders, who presumably did not see the people whom they held as slaves as equally deserving of the liberty they claimed for themselves. The abolitionist Thomas Day commented at the time, "If there be an object truly ridiculous in nature, it is an American patriot, signing resolutions of independency with one hand and with the other brandishing a whip over his affrighted slaves." So when Frederick Douglass was invited to speak on the occasion in 1852, 76 years after the Declaration, 34 years after Douglass's birth to an enslaved woman in Maryland, 14 years after Douglass escaped from slavery, 7 years after his British friends and supporters bought his freedom, and 9 years before the Civil War, he foregrounded that irony. Here's Danny Glover reading from that speech.
"Fellow citizens, pardon me. Allow me to ask, why am I called upon to speak here today? What have I or those I represent to do with your national independence? Are the great principles of political freedom and the natural justice embodied in the Declaration of Independence extended to us? And am I therefore called upon to bring our humble offering to the national altar and to confess the benefits and express devout gratitude for the blessings resulting from your independence to us? Would to God, both for your sake and ours, that an affirmative answer could be truthfully returned to these questions. Then would my task be light and my burden easy and delightful. But such is not the state of the case. I see it with a sad sense of disparity between us. I am not included within the pale of this glorious anniversary. Your high independence only reveals the immeasurable distance between us. The blessings in which you this day rejoice are not enjoyed in common. The rich inheritance of justice, liberty, prosperity, and independence bequeathed by your fathers is shared by you, not by me. The sunlight that brought light and healing to you has brought stripes and death to me. This 4th of July is yours, not mine." At a time like this, scorching irony, not convincing argument, is needed. Oh, had I the ability and could reach the nation's ear, I would today pour out a fiery stream of biting ridicule, blasting reproach, withering sarcasm, and stern rebuke. For it is not light that is needed, but fire. It is not the gentle shower, but thunder. We need the storm, the whirlwind, and the earthquake. The feeling of the nation must be quickened. The conscience of the nation must be roused. The propriety of the nation must be startled. The hypocrisy of the nation must be exposed, and its crimes against God and man must be proclaimed and denounced. What to the American slave is your 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him more than all other days in the year the gross injustice and cruelty in which he is the constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham, your boasted liberty an unholy license, your national greatness swelling vanity, your sounds of rejoicing are empty and heartless, your denunciation of tyrants brass-fronted impudence, your shouts of liberty and quality hollow mockery, your prayers and hymns, your sermons and thanksgivings with all your religious parade and solemnity are to him mere bomb blast, fraud, deception, impiety, and hypocrisy, a thin veil to cover up crimes which would disgrace a nation of savages. There is not a nation on the earth guilty of practices more shocking and bloody than are the people of the United States at this very hour. Go where you may. Search where you will, roam through all the monarchies and despotisms of the old world. Travel through South America, search out every abuse, and when you have found the last, lay your facts by the side of the everyday practices of this nation, and you will say with me that for revolting barbarity and shameless hypocrisy, America reigns without a rival.
As you can hear, Douglas, in fact, did pour out a fiery stream of biting ridicule, blasting reproach, withering sarcasm, and stern rebuke. His eloquent denunciation of a slave nation celebrating a declaration of purported liberty and equality forms part of a long tradition of black oratory, skillfully deploying ironic understatement, sarcasm, metaphor, allusion, a full panoply of rhetorical strategies to agitate for social and political change. He's calling on his listeners to take action to make the language of the Declaration a reality. One of the most recent instances of such fire and thunder, whirlwind and earthquake, is Jesse Williams' recent speech at the BET Awards, which at least one blogger suggests has set the media on fire and ignited a crucial spark in the African-American community. It has inspired a hashtag on Twitter, Jesse Williams Appreciation Day, and a poem by Alice Walker. Williams is best known as an actor, appearing regularly on Grey's Anatomy, a long-running multiracial cast drama created by Shonda Rhimes. But Williams is also known as an activist. He joined the Ferguson October protests and produced a documentary about the Black Lives Matter movement. He produces Question Bridge, an art project about the experience of black men in America, works with Sankofa, an organization dedicated to ending racial injustice, and is on the board of the national civil rights organization, the Advancement Project. The eloquence and density of Williams' speech is itself an assertion of power, a testament to the importance of genuine education and the traditions of black linguistic skill and wordplay. He puns on the word brand to suggest commodity fetishism as a form of slavery. He alludes to the song Strange Fruit, made famous by Billie Holiday, to suggest cultural appropriation is a metaphorical lynching. He recasts the meaning of Abraham Lincoln's reference to the biblical verse, "A house divided against itself cannot stand," in order instead to highlight the systemic centrality of black oppression to the American project and the possibility and power of active resistance. He glances toward the historical invention of racial categories in the 18th century and registers the super-exploitation of black labor as the economic underpinning of the nation's wealth. And in his comments on police violence against people of color, he insists on the equal rights and freedom that the Declaration of Independence reserved for white men who owned property. You're listening to KBOO FM Portland. I'm Fran Michel, and on behalf of the Old Mole Variety Hour, I invite you to listen now to Jesse Williams accepting the BET Humanitarian Award.